Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to flip the...
Well, okay. We'll do it one more time.
The rabbit is...
It's time. To flip the switch. The Rabbit Ears Broadcasting Network is on the air.
Shooting out of control through cyberspace and crashing into a server near you. It's the duo that proves common sense is the least common of all. The Buddy and Michael Show. And now, Buddy and Michael.
Hello, and welcome to this excursion into broadcast mediocrity. This is the Buddy and Michael Show. I am the professor. My name is Buddy. And I'm joined, as I always am, by my longtime good friend, very capable co-host, and mostly absent-minded teaching assistant, Michael. Now, you were throwing me off in that intro. We were having some technical difficulties in the studio, and I didn't know if our intro was going to fire off automatically, so when it didn't, I hit play. It started, and then you were talking with it, and I thought it was playing double, so I stopped it, and then we had no intro, so then I had to start it again.
I'm glad I could be your assistant. Did you hear me say, it's time? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that, and everybody heard that. And that gave me even more problems because they wiped out our intro. That's why I didn't play automatically, and I had to go get it again and re-upload it so we could have it for the show. And I tried to find it on an old episode, and when I'm looking on the old episode, every one of them has got you doing that, talking over the top, going do-do-do-do, and all that kind of stuff. So I had to go find one where you kept your mouth shut so I could extract it out again.
And I did it again today. I did it again today. Yeah, so I always do that. I do it on the other show, and I do this one. I talk over it, and I don't know. I can't, but it's good to be back.
It is good to be back. It's our first show of the new year. I want to start by wishing you, my co-host, a very happy new year, everyone out there.
And I wish you the same.
Thank you very much. We're going to try something a little different tonight. Before we get into that too much, I want to take care of our little business that we have to do each time. We like the show to be an interactive show, so if you want to get in here and give us topics to talk about or tell us how we're wrong or whatever's on your mind, you can do that. Pick up your phone. Use your little digits to punch in the digits, and the digits you want to punch in are 877-9409. 845-277-9409. That is also how you can listen to us. You dial in that number, you can listen to us. If you want to talk, just punch the one button that raises your hand, lets us know that you want to be on the air. If that's not your thing, also at blogtalkradio.com/Buddy and Michael, that is our show page. You can listen to us there both live and on demand. And you can go right now, our chat room is up. So if you don't want to talk to us live on here, you can go on there, talk to each other, talk to us while we talk to you. So happy to have you here on this episode. We've got a little different format we're going to try out tonight. It's actually we're following the footsteps of the pioneers known as the 2Gs. And I'm going to have my co-host, it's his brainchild, explain a little bit to you. Michael, why don't you go ahead and explain what we're going to try tonight?
You know, it's funny that I came up with this idea for the 2Gs, and we've been doing it for about two, 3 weeks, and figured we'd do it here But it's funny, I spoke to Gigi earlier today to a pre-production meeting, and he says he's suing for copyright issues. I said, what are you talking about? I'm the one that came up with it. Because if we were going to be doing it, he's going to sue for copyright. But I think for a 30-minute show, buddy, it's hard to come up with a topic or two at times. So I'm watching PT, what's it called there? Pardon the Interruption, sports show on ESPN. Uh-huh. And these guys come up with a topic, one or two topics at a time, and they give an opinion about it in about a minute or two. And I felt for a show like this for 30 minutes, we could come up with 6, 7, 8 topics, and we can give an opinion on it for 1 or 2 minutes. And if our listeners want to, in the chat room, or they want to call in, they can also call in, give a topic, give an opinion, and then wait for us. So I think it'll work good for this format in a 30-minute show. So let's see how it works.
Yeah, hopefully, yes. Hopefully this will work. We think it might be kind of fun. We've tried different things. We've tried one topic, and then we've tried trying to get a bunch of other things. But when we've done a bunch of other things, we haven't been very structured with it, so we're going to try to be a little bit more structured with it and see what kind of fun we can have. So shall we get right into it?
Let's get into it.
All right, let's start out. First, we gotta do this. It's the biggest talk right now, I think, and it's the most recent thing, so we gotta chime in, give our two cents for this, and that's the Super Bowl. Go ahead, you want to start giving your thoughts on that, and then I'll tell you what I think about it.
Okay, yeah, but the Super Bowl, of course, it was last Sunday, and everyone's been talking about this. Overall, a good Super Bowl. Compared to last year's Super Bowl, I think we agree, buddy, this one's much better, more competitive. You know, even though I can't stand one of the teams. But everyone wants to talk about the last play of the game. No one understands this call, buddy. No one understands this call. You have Marshawn Lynch, who is probably one of the best running backs in the NFL, and they call him Beast Mode. The reason they call him Beast Mode is you can't bring this guy down. You can't bring him down. And you're on the one-yard line and second down with a timeout. With about a minute six, but they let the clock go down, which I don't understand why. Mm-hmm. And you don't give it to him? If he doesn't get in, call a timeout. Give it to him again. There's no way on earth that New England's going to stop Beast Mode 2 or 3 times from the one-yard line. You throw a pass?
Yeah.
I was stunned, buddy. Absolutely stunned.
As the world was. I mean, that's all that was on Facebook. That's all you heard from commentators, you know, the after game commentary was all about that. The game itself, I agree, it was a good game. It was what you want to see in a Super Bowl as far as being close, coming down to the end, nail biter kind of thing. It lived up to that for a Super Bowl. You know, that miraculous catch down there inside, you know, and in the red zone there, where I went off his foot and up in the air, and he ended up getting it. I kind of remember the name of the receiver. It's not coming to me. And not, you know, not hitting the ground, and he pulled it in just absolutely his luck. But it was great concentration on his part to stay with it. And it was ironic because Butler, the player that made the interception at the end, he actually had a chance to break that up, and he jumped over the guy instead of hitting the ball. But then you get to that last play, and here's my take on that last play. I think, for one thing, I think you're absolutely right. They had a significant amount of time on the clock. They had a timeout. They have not been. They didn't stop him the whole game. I mean, he was running over him. He couldn't let him do it. But here's what I think. I think Pete Carroll outcoached himself, or overcoached, however you want to phrase it. Because if you think about this, everybody was expecting him to hand it off to Marshawn Lynch. He comes out and he throws. If that pass is not intercepted, if Butler doesn't jump it and intercept it, and it's completed and goes in, there's a chance that he's going to be called a genius because everybody's expecting a run and he passes it. And so that is what I think was in his mind is everybody's thinking that we're going to run it, so we're going to pass it. But the problem with that is he just overthought it, overcoached it. He didn't go with his personnel. He didn't, based on the situation with the amount of time he had on the clock, he had the timeout, he should have just put his best foot forward and punched it in. But that's the only thing I could think behind that decision.
Again, I agree with you. He did overcoach it, his explanation was absolutely mind-boggling, ridiculous, that the personnel wasn't in there. We were just throwing this was a throwaway kind of a play. Then why would you throw it right there? I mean, it didn't make no sense. I think you're right. Overcoached it. They overthink it. You're down there. You just go with your best play. You stop me. You can stop Beast Mode two or three times in the 1 yard line. You deserve to win the game. Bonehead and Pete Carroll did say this week that he's having trouble sleeping. Really? I would never have guessed. There's not enough Somonex in the world that's going to put that guy out.
How big your bruises do you think are on his ass from him kicking himself?
Absolutely. You know, I know we're on the air, but it would be funny if we have with this rapid fire. You know, the part of the interruption, the guy goes, the Super Bowl. You have a guy, and then the topic comes up, and the buzzer goes off, and the next topic, roll it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have production people on it.
Not like that.
I think it'd be a good idea. Okay.
In interest of being rapid fire, let's move on. We're still in the realm of the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the commercials now.
Yes.
Typically, you know, I contend that a big portion of the audience is watching for that, not the game, because you got people, the fans of each side that are watching, and then you got the haters of each side that are watching to root against them, and then you got everybody else who doesn't really care. They're just watching for the commercials. And I think that's the majority of the people watching. And first of all, I don't know what you thought. I thought it was very weak this year. Did not have, you know, there was some good commercials, nothing great, nothing spectacular, nothing that jumped out to me. You know, the Budweiser commercial, they're always good ones, and it was good this year. The kind of like the Snickers one with the Brady Bunch, kind of cute. But most of them were just really disappointing and downer to me. I don't know what you thought. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I don't think you had a big knockout this year. Always you'll have, in the last couple, some years you'll have one or two commercials where everybody is unanimous that this is the funniest, the best commercial. I think listening to talk radio this week and reading, you know, I think the Budweiser commercial got the number one favorite commercial, which I think every year they do the same type of thing. But I'm going to go a different direction. Mm-hmm. There were two commercials that people were up in arms about. One didn't make the GoDaddy.com actually pulled the commercial and didn't show it. And that's the one where the puppy's driving down there in the back of the seat, the truck. Somehow they hit a bump. The puppy gets thrown out. You know, then you see this puppy, sounds like it's a days or whatever long, working his way back home, you know, really struggling to get back home. Finally he gets home, and the lady says, oh, buddy, I'm so glad you're home because I just sold you on this new site that I made with GoDaddy. Next thing, the truck takes off. People up in arms about that, GoDaddy.
Yeah.
Pull it. And the second one was the nationwide commercial with the little kid saying, you know, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to get cooties. I'm never going to do this.
Right.
Why? Because I died because of an accident. And then Nationwide says, you know, we take accidents seriously. People went up in arms about that. I don't have a problem with either one of them. I don't know what the problem is.
I don't have a problem with either one of them either. As far as the second one was concerned, the people up in arms over that because they wanted a funny commercial. That's what people are looking for, funny commercials. And that wasn't. That was just a poignant, solid message. And I think that's what people are up in arms. You know, don't put that in the Super Bowl. It's not meant for Super Bowl. Super Bowl has to be funny, and I don't think it has to. But I agree with you.
Exactly.
I don't have a problem with that one. I didn't have a problem with the GoDaddy commercial either. And GoDaddy didn't have to pull that. They decided to pull it because they got a petition. Some mother, I saw it on the news, some mother or some woman just didn't like it, so she petitioned them to take it down. And she didn't expect them to pull it. But they did, and she was pleasantly surprised if they pulled it, whatever. I didn't have a problem with it either. I don't, you know, it was, I'm not really sure. It's what, this soft spot for the puppy or something? I mean, I don't get really what the big, hairy deal was. It. Just because yours was bad, because this puppy worked so hard and she sold the thing.
Right.
That's not a, you know, to me, it's humor. I don't see it as this big tragedy.
And I agree, but and the thing is, I don't have a problem with it, but if I had a business that I was trying to promote, like GoDaddy, I wouldn't use that because I know it's going to happen. I don't know how that got through all the focus groups. I'm sure they had some focus groups. Hey, how do you like this commercial? I'm shocked that even got through because in the day and age that we live in, especially with, you know, the animals and stuff like that, I would know not to do that. Now, I don't have a problem with it, but I'm shocked that GoDaddy would put that commercial out, knowing the outrage that's probably going to come. And the Nationwide, again, Gigi disagrees. You can listen to the Two Gs later. He says, I watch the Super Bowl. I want to be entertained. Well, if I'm a commercial, I want to be something that's going to make you think. Nationwide is telling you this is a serious issue. Kids die from accidents that are preventable, and I think it got his point across. I don't have to be entertained.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Right, right. And here's my addendum to that, is that the reason Super Bowl commercials are so expensive, because you've got millions of people watching. Here's an opportunity to reach that many people with that topic. Smarter than to take advantage of that. They got the funds.
Exactly.
So, well, let's since we're talking about commercials, let's move away from Super Bowl commercials, regular ones. There's a lot of them out there that just annoy us and stick with us and all of that. So let you start on this one. What's your thoughts on the other commercials out there?
Buddy, I think you and I have talked about, I think I've mentioned this to you. There's two commercials. Don't ask me why they bother me, because you got commercials like Geico, who I think is the most ingenious commercial. I don't care what they put out. It's funny. You know, that the last one that Geico came out with was, you know, hey, hump day. And it's like, it's not even Wednesday. Let it go, Phil.
Right.
I mean
right.
It's hilarious. Right. Kenny Rogers singing. These commercials are funny, and they're good, and they... But there's two of them that I cannot take. I think I've mentioned this off the air. The first one is Rob Lowe with that DirecTV. That is the worst commercial I've ever seen, and it gets worse.
You mean the ones where it's like, I'm peaked in high school, Rob Lowe. I'm spindly arms, Rob Lowe. I'm paranoid, Rob Lowe. You're talking about all of those commercials?
Yeah, I'm getting the hibby jibbies by you just saying it that way. But anyway, that's the one. And the last one killed me was, you know, I can't stop saying bro. I just can't stand the commercial. To that effect, if I was going to get rid of Comcast, the last place I would go is DirecTV. So if you're listening to DirecTV, you ain't getting me. And the second one is Marie Osborne. Who the bleep cares about her weight loss and how she looked? That was a horrible day. I mean, how many times are going to listen to Marie Osborne about losing weight? It drives me crazy. So I'm not going to Weight Watchers. I'll go to Jenny Craig. Those two books that kill me. Those two commercials.
Marie Osborne is Nutrisystem.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Weight Watchers. Nutrisystem. I'm not going there. And the receiver you were looking for Seattle was, I think, Curse. You corrected me, and I'm not correcting you, but I'm trying to give you some info. You know, it's just a pot.
Add incredibility to the show. That's okay. My take on the commercials is I'm with you on the Nutrisystem commercial. My issue with that one is the same issue that I have with the Cindy Crawford. The one that drives me nuts is the Cindy Crawford Meaningful Beauty commercial. And what annoys me about those is they'll take up a whole advertising block in the middle of the show. So it's like you're watching your TV show, your TV show does a commercial, and I'm in the middle of an infomercial while you're waiting for your show to come back, because it'll be a whole 8-minute commercial block, or you know however long that whole block is, and it'll go on. It feels like it'll go on forever. You're just like, okay, we get it. You've got some special melon in France that doesn't age, and now you're injecting it in people's skins or whatever. That's really good. Give us the price and move on. It's just, and that's what the Nutrisystem commercials are. They're starting to get these commercials that are, my opinion, they're invading our TV shows. Commercials bad enough. Well, I get the point of commercials. You know, that's how they make their money. Networks charge for the ads. That's how they make their money. They also make the cable channels also make their money from cable providers buying them, but they make their money on the ads. And okay, we'll take a break every now and then from our show so you can run an ad, but don't take over our show and hijack our show halfway through to give us this big long infomercial. That's my issue with those.
Yeah, and I agree. So, I mean, that's just how to get it off my chest. It's the reason why I have, a radio show or two. I can say what I want. For some reason, I guess it really is a subjective type of a thing. Some people might like those Rob Lowe commercials, you know what I'm saying? But they just annoy me. And so I had to get that off, and that's it for my commercials.
All right, let's move along here, our next rapid-fire shot. We've got something that's kind of fun. How about ways that technology has made things worse? There's two of them that come to mind.
You start this one.
And there's one that kind of everybody gets, and if you don't get it, I'll leave it for you, and if you don't get it, I'll come back to it. But the one I'm gonna go with is job hunting. I don't know if I know you recently had to hunt for a job. I've had cousins hunting for jobs and everything. In the old days, you'd walk into a place, are you hiring, are you accepting applications, blah, blah, blah. They'd hand you a paper application. You might have your resume with it. You'd fill out that application. You'd hand it in. You might give your resume if you had it with them. And then you would have a chance to talk to somebody there and try to sell yourself. If you go job hunting these days, you go in, you say, you know, I'm looking for a job. Are you hiring? Here, here's a piece of paper with a website on it. Go out and apply online, and if we like it, we'll call you. And you don't get a chance to talk to anybody. There's a lot of people that have gotten jobs and have excelled at those jobs but didn't qualify for those jobs on paper and were probably the best candidate at the time for them. But they would have never gotten interviews under our, under the current situation. Now, it makes it easier for employers because they get a list on their screen of all these and they can get rid of the ones they want and narrow it down really quickly without having to deal with all these stacks of papers. But for the job seeker, it's made it a whole lot worse.
That's a good point. I tend to agree with that too, especially like you said. Is that yours? I have a couple of it that may, in my opinion, way technology has made things worse.
Go ahead. Let me see if there's one that everybody gets. I want to see if you get it. So go ahead. What you got?
Well, I think how about I mean, we had this years ago too. I mean, but now you really can't even have any conversations in real life anymore. I mean, technology to that thing now it's just you Facebook somebody, you Twitter, you do it Instagram,
right.
You send pictures.
Right.
You really don't have that face.
Yeah.
You don't have that face-to-face relationships anymore. I think it's another way. Here's another way. I think it's made it worse. I think relationships are harder. Relationships were always hard since the beginning of man. Because anytime you're dealing with
right.
a woman, it's going to be hard. Okay. That's it's going to be hard. You get it? It's going to be hard, and it's going to be hard. You get it? You get it? Okay. Anyway, family show. But anyway. I think it's impossible sometimes because now you have a whole world open up to you these days.
Right.
So the grass
right.
always looked greener. So now you have all these Facebook people, Instagram people, Kick, Match.com.
Right.
You're always thinking to yourself, is there something better? Well, back in the 50s and the 40s, you didn't have those opportunities to have the wandering eye. I mean, you had a wandering eye. But now I think it makes it worse, in my opinion.
I agree with you on that, and I think one thing that goes along with that is I don't think, you know, it's really, from a societal perspective, it's kind of in its infancy. And there's a jillion different thoughts on what the etiquette is for that. So it makes it even harder because you don't know, should I call her, should I not? Should I text, should I not? Should I wait till tomorrow to text her? Should I text her every day if I like her? You know, what's my strategy for this business contact? Is it bad to text him? Should I text him? Does it look like I'm more efficient? You know what I mean? There's like all this etiquette that we don't even know. So I agree with you. You missed the one technology thing that most everybody says, though.
Okay.
And that's, well, you hit on a the cousin of it, and that is telephone communication. When trying to call in, you know, call in, press one for this and two for that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's so aggravating. You're calling, you try to talk to somebody, and
True.
You can't get anybody. All you get is press one for this and two for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it worse. Now, that one doesn't annoy me as much as the ones that say, to talk to accounts, say accounts. Because when you talk to them, they never understand what you're saying. You'll say accounts, and they'll only say, you know, did you want sales? No, I said accounts. And they never understand me. So I hate those. So that's one that usually everybody gets because everybody gets annoyed with those phone systems, you know. So, and I think that's an area where it's made it worse. You can't, and it kind of goes along with what you're saying. It's that customer service relationship is a lot harder because of those phone systems, I think.
That's a good point. I think you're right. Now you said that, I think I've heard people over and over mention that as being an annoyance.
Yeah. I talked about this to my aunt, and that was like the first thing she always was those stupid phone systems. She hated them. So, well, we're getting out of the last 5 minutes of the show, so let's hit with TV shows. We got a couple more topics, but we'll put them in the file, and we can start them next week or put them on the list for next week. So let's talk about TV shows. We haven't talked about TV shows in a long time. A lot of the shows we watch haven't been on, and we haven't been all on the same page as far as what we're watching, but we got a couple that we're watching right now. One, the season premiere of Walking Dead is going to be tomorrow night, So I'm finally caught up with that, and I'm looking forward to it. What's your thoughts on that real quick?
Well, I'm glad, number one, I'm kind of glad you caught up. I know you were making an attempt to do that, and that's fantastic. The Walking Dead, listen, I don't know what to say. The show, to me, is phenomenal. It's got everything you'd want, from drama to action. I mean, it's just amazing. What makes the show so great is also its curse, because it's not afraid to kill off characters, and that's been a big deal, because sometimes you have a favorite character. But I will say this before about The Walking Dead. It seems like it's the one show that I spend more time waiting for than actually watching. So tomorrow I'm going to watch the season, second half of the season, two episodes left of The Walking Dead. You know, it just started.
You're absolutely right about that curse. And Walking Dead's not the first show to have that. That was a major characteristic of the old show of 24, back when it was on regularly. I'm hoping they may have another episode of that in the summer. They came back with one last summer. But that was the same thing. Year to year, you'd have somebody that was a vital key character that would just all of a sudden, kind of like the way Beth was killed in the last episode, just all of a sudden, boom, this vital character is dead, and you're like, whoa, wait, what? 24 was that way, and that's one thing that just that makes the show kind of dynamic. But the other thing about Walking Dead is that there are so many nuances, I think, that people don't even think about to that show. My cousin who just, my young cousin who just moved to Colorado, he and I used to watch it a lot, and we used to talk about this, that if you thought about a way a world would be if it was just suddenly zombies and all the little things that would happen, the way little things would be, it's in that show, you know? Just because I want to talk about it, they're not coming to mind, but, you know, the way society would be and the way you'd have some people that would just suddenly go, you know, all Ferguson and want to riot everywhere, and then you got others that are trying to pull them together, and you have to develop ways of reading the new people, like the way the main characters ask three questions in order for the person to join their group, and all those little things that would develop in a real society, they're showing that in this show, and I think that makes this just a phenomenally well-made show.
I agree. It just amazes me. I don't know why it bothers me. I shouldn't let it bother me because it's like one of the number one shows. But the Golden Globes and the Emmys, not one time in this show's history has it ever been nominated for like a major award, like top drama or best actor, best actress, best supporting act. Not one time. And I think Rick's transformation is one of the greatest things I've ever seen, besides maybe Michael Corleone in The Godfather. He's becoming like Shane at this point. He ran that guy down. He would never have done that before. It's just amazing, the show, the acting.
Right, right. Well, you know, talking about the awards, rarely does an award show pick what's popular. You know, there's been top shows that have gotten awards, you know, Seinfeld gotten Emmys and things like that. But there was one of the talk radio shows I was listening to a couple of years ago who was talking about the Oscars, and they went through all of the Oscar nominees, and they were all like, they ranked all the movies of the year by gross sales, which indicates popularity. Mm-hmm. And they were all like in the bottom 2% or something. They were all like, you know, I forget what it was. It was like, I'm going to say 100 movies, but I don't think it was that many that year. But it was like a whole bunch, you know, the whole gamut of movies from the whole year, all that could have been nominated. And they were like in the bottom, you know, way at the bottom of the list. They weren't the ones that were most popular. And that's the way you usually see it on award shows. You know, it's all a political thing, and if something has a political message, then that's the one they want to go with instead of the one that's actually well made, you know. So, we're down to our last minute here, so I don't know that we have time. I wanted to talk a little bit about MasterChef with the little kids, but maybe we can get that next time and with some of our other topics. I guess I'll turn over to you here for a last word, and then we'll wrap this thing up for another week.
Okay, well, great show. Glad we're back. We'll be back in two more weeks. I think I like this rapid fire. Let us know what you think by going to our page there, our Facebook page, and also maybe add some little sidetrack. I mean, like a soundtrack in there, like a buzzer and a guy's voice. I think we can really do this better, and then we can always switch back and forth to whatever works. So glad you listened. Join us in 2 weeks.
I concur. I think we can tweak this out. You know, we're just figuring it out, so we'll get this thing taken care of. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So join us right here for another Buddy and Michael Show.